assuming that I've never used Drizzle, which is not the case. I've used it before and I really like what you did there. But what is your elevator pitch for Drizzle for like people that have never heard of it before?
If you know SQL, you know Drizzle. It was our first sentence that we were trying to show in README as well. So the main problem for us is that we know how to solve all of our problems in SQL and how to write queries. We just don't want an ORM or library to just stay in front of us and dictate the rules of how we should do things and how much time should we spend on solving an issue either this day or week where we can solve it in SQL in like 10 minutes. And now when you have ChatGPT and all other LLMs and they know SQL very well, you can solve basically anything you want with SQL and just transform it to Drizzle and write things you need in a type-safe form. It's not 100 type-safe form, but as much type-safety as you need for your application code.
To sum it up, your idea is really easy learning curve with high type safety. Is that like the...
Yes.
Okay, cool. So in preparation for this interview, I looked through the documentation, which I think is probably the funniest documentation I've ever seen for a tech project. And I would like to talk about that in a bit too, but you marketed very much as like a headless ORM. What made you realize that traditional ORM, the abstraction is kind of lacking and gets more in the way for developers?
Like, we have a huge experience, I would say, for around 10 years in outsourcing. So we were doing a lot of different projects in outsourcing and doing like development. And we've done like hundreds of projects, different ones in different languages. And most of the time, as I said, that we've tried different ORMs in different languages. It was Java, it was like in C#. Then we tried a lot of in the TypeScript as well, not only Prisma. It was all other, like it was type ORM for a long time. Before I went to TypeScript, so like I started coding in Java and then I went to TypeScript. And when I went to TypeScript, I needed to choose some ORM to work with. And everyone was saying, you should use type ORM, but don't use it because it's awful. And you will hit a lot of different abstractions that you don't want to spend your time on. And I was like, it was confusion for me because, I mean, I should use type ORM and I should not use it because of the abstractions. And I was just forced to use it because there were no alternatives at that time. Like going back to that like headless part of Drizzle and why we think it should be this way. It's also going back to our like elevator pitch about that if you know how to solve something in SQL, you should definitely spend the same amount of time to solve it using the library because it should just help you and not stay in the way. It's also about like developer experience and API and also about the performance. So performance also should be as close to just using the raw SQL as possible, and the library should just not slow you down with that. So the performance should be close to what you can do just sending the raw queries through some clients to the database.
I think the first time we really interacted on social media was around the PostgreSQL language server, which from my perspective is more like a way trying to improve the developer experience, where it's like, okay, here's this tool to compensate language issues. Whereas your approach is more like converting it in a different language, quote unquote, to hook into all the nice things that language already provides. Do you consider this a fair statement of your approach, or do you think the language server approach is actually very viable in that ecosystem?
So like we also have this SQL template deck that you can use and just use the raw queries. But the main advantage for that is you have your schema defined in TypeScript in one place, and this is your source of truth. And then you can reuse tables in queries, you can reuse columns in queries, you can like do all of that with template tags. And then if something will be changed in your schema, you will see the TypeScript error in some raw query, and that will say, okay. Or you can rename your table, you can rename anything, but as long as you're using SQL template tag and these parameters of your TypeScript schema, of TypeScript tables from Drizzle, it means it's easy for you to find something that may be broken. Because writing the raw strings, mm-hmm. may lead to a lot of errors because you will change your schema in production for sure, and you may rename something, remove something, and you may forget that in some query you use this column or like table. And with this approach of having schema in TypeScript that is not generated or generated, it's just a TypeScript schema that you can pass through all your queries. It can be SQL builder, it can be just RawSQL template tag, it can be relational queries that is high abstraction still if you want to use it. But all of those have schema as a source of truth for migrations and for queries and for database.
How do you look at migrations? Because I started my career with doing Ruby on Rails that has like very nice migrations built in. And I've since had to handle approaches that are like never as good, but better than what open source libraries provide. And I've not, full disclosure, I've not used Drizzle migrations. That's just why I'm asking, like, what is unique about Drizzle migrations? Or is it like, I don't want to call it same old, but you know what I mean.
So Drizzle migrations will generate your SQL statements automatically. Mm-hmm. It's not like you will, like, it's not that you generate a migration, you will see up and down functions, and then you will write down the actual raw strings. We will use the TypeScript schema as a source of truth, see the difference of what was changed, and then decide what actually was changed and how you should apply those statements to a database, which is great because you don't need to think about some edge cases where, for example, in SQLite, you have a lot of limitations about how you can change your schema. So you can't do a lot of alternations. You can't change your references. You can't do a lot of things, basically. And with Drizzle Kit, you basically, we found not all the possible, but we try to find all the possible ways on how to migrate your schema to the state you want. So for example, if you have something you can do, we will recreate a new table, we will move the data, we will remove old table, we will rename new table to the like previous one and try to do it in a way that it won't break you up.
Yeah.
And the same, for example, like in Postgres, you have this thing that you can't remove a value from like enum. So we're trying to find all the columns that are using this enum, make it string, like make it text. Then we change this enum, then we go back to all the columns, we change it to the new enum, and all of that is auto-generated in your migration. Basically, we decide the best approach we think, and you still can change this file, but for 95% of cases, you don't need to change it. You just see the automatically generated file and just do whatever you need. And then you have this push, the same as Prisma has as well, where you can just sync your schema with database. So we just find what you have in your database, what you have in your schema, what is the difference between schema and database, and we just apply everything to make both schemas be in sync, database and TypeScript code. And there are like this, like a pull command, etc. And then like talking about migrations, we have a huge problem right now, which we're trying to write. So basically, right now, Alex is rewriting the Drizzle kit, I guess from scratch. He completely rewrote everything we have, all the like architectural decisions, how it should be done to make it pluggable in the different environments. Like not only Drizzle kit, we'll use an engine to find the differences between the schema, but our other products and libraries will also reuse this part. So we can make smart decisions about what actually was changed in the schema and how we need to apply those changes to the database. So it's not like most of the old tools. It's like we just generate you a timestamp folder where you can just write the SQL statements, and we will just find what statements are in database were applied and were not, and we just apply it. This tool is more than that. We try to make it as smart as possible to decide how we should generate those diff statements. And you can learn from that because then we can explain you, okay, we did this because you can't do this in Postgres. You need to recreate in this and this way, and you will learn with this tool as well.
I like that approach because it really sounds like it abstracts that layer of database complexity that I as a developer don't want to deal with without like forcing a new paradigm on me in a way. It sounds very much like, okay, bring you a familiar developer experience, but abstract issues that we don't want you to deal with. I like that approach for an ORM because what I said in the beginning, I very much felt like every time when I used an ORM, it felt like, okay, either very restrictive, and the minute you're like making something a little bit more complex, it's like, okay, I have to fall back to raw SQL or something. Having that said, you mentioned DrizzleKit. And I noticed, because so far I've just used Drizzle in like smaller sample projects, so I wasn't even aware of that huge ecosystem that you maintain. You also have Drizzle Studio. Can you tell me a little bit about like how you maintain this ecosystem and why you see the necessity for these different tools?
So Drizzle Studio is basically the way to make a modern way of communicating with this database that we created in Drizzle. We didn't want to create in the first place, but the community asked us, please do it. We need like Drizzle Studio from CLI. We just want to basically do the like Prisma experience, because from the start, a lot of people were trying to use something else and they say, okay, they have it. You don't have. You say, okay, just use any other tool. There are a lot of them. You can just use anything you need. Just add the connection string and that's it.
Right.
Yeah, but they constantly were saying that, please, edit. We just want this same experience. So we basically did it in a month, I guess, and launched like a first version of Drizzle Studio just to make it happen from a CLI.
Just for like the people that haven't heard of Drizzle Studio, it's basically a database explorer, right? Like,
yes, but the first version was only about data. So you can just browse data, you can add rows, you can remove rows, you can update something, and that's it. So like there were nothing about schema, about schema changes, a schema viewer, etc. It was just a data visualizer. And like you can see the list of tables and then they see the data for those tables. It was the version one. And after that, we start to iterate and completely redesigned and try to find our way of how we see the data representation and like best developer experience. So I mean, maybe you would need to see your tables as a JSON. You want to export it as a CSV file. I want to export it like as a JSON file. So you can do a lot of such things that were mostly not possible in other tools. So were really hard to do. And we took the SHA-CN styles and deleted it like a new modern way of like visualizing it. And then we understood that Drizzle Studio can be actually pluggable to other dashboards. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but for example, Turso were the one who like got the Drizzle Studio inside their dashboard.
Oh, okay.
So we basically are a component for them that they just install, and we give the styles so they can style the component in the same colors and fonts that they have in their website, so it will feel like it was built like inside natively. And then like Turso were the first that we did it for them, and then it was Neon, then it's Replit, then Create XYZ, and there are like more than 9 companies already using Drizzle Studio inside their dashboard. And we iterate with them, and then we recently introduced the schema like visualizer to see your table, your types, your defaults, constraints, etc.
Cool.
And the way to change your schema and find the difference. So we also used the engine we have to find these smart ways to change your schema, because when we were using like something like Table Plus, etc., if database can't do something like SQLite can't change the references, you will see an error. It's not about us. If we see that, we will try to find the smart decision and show you that, okay, we want to do this. If you find that, we can just now can do this. And if you find this, like moving your data, change your tables, you can do this in Drizzle Studio easily. And idea to not block you for any schema changes you have. If database won't support it, we will find a way to actually make this happen. Maybe we'll move the data. Maybe we'll be, like we will create some temporary tables, etc., but we will find a way to show you the statements you should apply to make the state of your schema the way you want.
Okay. So during my research, I also noticed that Drizzle is not V1 yet. Because I've talked to a lot of people that use it in production and are very happy with it. What's the deal with that? Is it just that you still want to be in that position to allow breaking changes? Or is there more to it?
First of all, it was to just iterate fast and don't care a lot about the breaking changes. I mean, we have a minor V0, V1. If you're ready to use Gradle in this state, it's great. Thank you. And I was really wondered about how many people were actually want to use it, not even being V1. We still care about them and try not to do some crazy breaking changes, of course, but sometimes we can allow us that in the places where we may take more time just to find all the ways to make it compatible through all the versions previously. But then we understood that, okay, we can be forever in pre-1 stage because you forever will have something you want to add more and more and more. So we made this roadmap on our website. It's basically just a list of things that we need to add. And we left with a few of them. So it's relational queries, V2, which is already in beta, which is already finished. We're just testing it and want to write tests on the type, on the type's performance to make sure that, like, we have a lot of big types there and some big projects may be just like TypeScript server won't be able to handle that. So we want to find the types that we did wrong and optimize them so it can work perfectly. So this is the last thing for relational queries. And then the migrations part, we have pretty big problem with team migration. So if there are two, three or more people working on the same repository with the same migrations, we have this problem where we structured our migrations not in the right way. We have this journal, we have this folder with snapshots and then folder with SQL files. It was something we think will work, but after some time we understood that it won't work. So we will rewrite it back to just a folder timestamp structure to make it possible to have different people creating different migrations. And if they want to intersect each other, it will just work. And then everyone is asking us for the rollbacks, so down migrations. Yeah. We never used down migration in any app we were working on. So for us, down was always up. So if you want to go back, you just go up on the previous stage.
Yeah.
But seems like there are a lot of thumbs up on the discussions about that. So like three pieces, update the migrations to make it work properly for big teams, making rollbacks and releasing their relational queries V2. With all of that, it seems that we will be V1 and then we will continue just fixing bugs and going through issues we have.
So you know it better than I am, but you're working on Drizzle for a couple of years by now. It's not just, oh, you started that and it's more than a passion project. That's what I'm trying to say. While probably still being a passion project to some extent.
So it's it's 4 years already.
Jesus. Okay.
Yes. There was like, we built Drizzle for our project. So as I said, we were doing outsourcing. Uh-huh. We just built like Drizzle for our projects and we were just using it internally for the stuff we need. And it was like for 2 years. By the way, first version of Drizzle was in Java, and then we rewrote it to TypeScript, actually. We just took some ideas from that as well. But for the last year, even a bit more, Drizzle is a full-time job, actually.
That was the impression that I had. Yeah, okay.
It's a full-time, and it's like we have a team of 15 people.
I really don't mean this in a rude or inconsiderate way, but how is the finance situation on that? Because I mean, like, I assume 15 people, you have like obligations at home and all those things, and open source is not necessarily the most lucrative business.
Yes, but you can open our sponsors list, for example, and check our rates for the sponsor places on the website as well. But as I said, we were doing outsource work and we're still doing that. So it's also one of the things that can help us.
Okay, I see. So you basically have like outsourcing business that to some extent stabilize the development.
Yes.
Okay. Because you didn't have like a paid model to Drizzle.
No, as I know, it's free. And for us, it's free, but paid for the companies who are embedding it in their dashboards. So basically, this one is paid. It also helps us. So we have this sponsors list, and then we have this Drizzle Studio embedded, we call it, embedded Drizzle Studio, that is also helping us.
Mm-hmm.
And also like collaborations with the companies also helps us, like the one you see on the website as well with our sponsors. Basically, sponsors tier is like we're helping them with stuff that they need from Drizzle, maybe some priority bug fixes, of course. I mean, we always want to fix bugs for everyone, but unfortunately, the one who have money will get their bug fixes like faster. You can't do anything with that.
Yeah. Okay. But like everyone of that, like those 15 people, are those the people of the company that do like to some extent the outsourcing? Like, what does that team structure look like?
Some percentage of those are outsourced. Everyone else is like we have someone who like was working on Drizzle ORM community just to help us to go through Discord, maybe find something we can see, because I completely can, like we have 11,000 users in Discord. It's hard to follow all of their questions, and they're always saying, oh, you don't answer, this help chat is useless, you can't answer us, but I mean, you can go through all of them for sure. Yeah. So they just help us. Some of them are working on Drizzle Kit stuff, on Drizzle ORM stuff. We have a lot of other open source libraries as well. So we have, so if you will open the Drizzle team website, this drizzle.team, you will see the list of all open source libraries we have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like we have a developer who was building Drizzle Seed. So just a library to seed deterministic CTO database with the data that good for tests and just for you some workflows that you can do. We build this like Broccoli, like Bro CLI or Broccoli, you can call it. So we needed the CLI builder for Drizzle Kit, but no of the solution worked well for us. So we built this one to consume it by Drizzle Kit, and then we open source it for everyone just so you can install it. We have Waddler that we did for Mother Duck and DuckDB, but we're completely rewriting it to this sort of lightweight Drizzle, so more lightweight as it can be. It will be another library.
Mm-hmm.
It will be like the same as we discussed with Postgres. We have just SQL template tag and raw strings, but we will make it for every driver and for every client, for every database you have. So the idea, so at, like elevator pitch for Waddler is unify the way you communicate with database by this SQL template tag. So no matter what like driver or client you have, everywhere you can just put it into the Waddler and use a SQL template tag that will give you all the power things. And we added a lot of nice features like escaping values for inserts. Then you can pass just an array and don't do this a lot of stuff like for insert, which is hard. And some nice things for that as well.
Cool.
And then we have Tanto for Shopify, and like you can see this like a big list of that stuff. So we have a lot of things to work on. And then we have $1 stats, the web analytics for $1 that we are working on. So there are a lot of things we want to try and to build, and everyone is helping us with that as well.
Cool. You're clearly very busy. Jesus. With that, you also have environment circumstances that impact your development. Meaning, as far as I know, your whole team is sitting in Ukraine.
Yes.
How's the situation right now? Just to, like...
It's bad.
It's hard for me to imagine, so it's tough to ask question, but I would like to better understand how the impact is, what are the struggles you're facing and those things.
Like, impact is huge. I almost lost all of my hair. I had long hair, but... For all the stress, I guess I lost almost all of that. So it's one of the visual impact that you can actually see. But yeah, it's like it's war. It's hard. It's extra hard to do something here. First of all, like you're really close to the front line. Then you have rockets every night flying. You can't sleep actually because the air alert is going really loud outside the street. And then there are a lot of like rockets and bombs going on your city as well. So it's not like you just hear them flying. They actually hit the buildings you're living near. And like, it's great that it didn't hit us, but it may happen anytime. So we just want to like work as much as we can and help as much as we can, because I mean, in some, like, it may sound really bad, but in some sort is great, because we like, I personally don't care about mistakes I may make or something bad I may say on Twitter to someone or something else, because I mean, there may be no tomorrow, but now you can do whatever you want. In like in any sense, maybe this one is helped Drizzle to grow, because we didn't care about anything and we're just doing what we wanted to do and say what we wanted to say, and do those like developers love Drizzle on the website and joke around and do all the stuff we are doing, and no matter what everyone will think about us, because it's just how we are. Maybe this one helped us to just go from everything this latest bet. So we just go into a laptop, go the website and do stuff you want. Maybe this, maybe Drizzle helped to live it through.
Yeah.
And I continue doing that, because I'm sure it won't stop. War will continue for maybe a long time more.
Yeah.
So, and like with all of that, it's not only like rockets, bombs, and not only air alerts. It's like your friends and family going to front lines, because you just need to go there. And then you may just, they may just gone forever as well. And it's also the stress you have for that. And yeah, it's hard to express that. I want to say that no one will ever understand us. And it's great, and I hope no one will ever understand. But no matter how we will try to simulate or to understand what's going on, even if I can tell you that for like days or weeks completely, you just need to go here, like come here and just live through. Only after that, people can understand that. And if someone outside of Ukraine will say that they understand you, they don't.
I appreciate you sharing this perspective, because I am in a fortunate situation to not have those experiences, but I really appreciate you sharing this. How is the infrastructure situation? Like, are you able to be in contact with people that are close to you? Like, how is that looking?
What do you mean?
Like you mentioned that you see friends and family going to like the front line and those things. Are you able to like keep in touch? Sounds so social, but like stay on top of how they are doing? Like, is there any way for you to be in contact with them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's not like a World War II when you didn't have any types of like internet or communications, etc.
Yeah.
For sure, you can communicate. We can track all of the situation on the front line. We have all the news. We have different chats and like social medias that can say to you that in 2 minutes there will be rocket in this part of the city, so be mm-hmm. careful. So you complete like, you know, everything
okay.
that will go and happen, and you have time to go to the shelter and you have time to do something. We have this really great project called Deep State.
Mm-hmm.
I will share it with you. I will do English version here. So you basically can track day by day the situation on the front line and see what's happening and make some decisions. So we live in a world with a lot of information and ways to share this information, so it's easier. Yeah, it's not so like we can work from here, as you can see, and we can do stuff what can anyone in the world do as well. It's not like we don't have internet, we don't have like cellular.
The way you talked about Drizzle's role in that, it sounds a little bit, I don't think it's the quite fitting term, but it sounded like it's to some extent a distraction of what's going on for you, or at least something to channel energy towards that you otherwise would not have. Do you think having something that you feel passionate about helped you cope in a sense, or is it more like the distraction piece of it?
It's like, in some sense, it's a distraction, but not completely, because, I mean, what we are doing is, there's like a few points I can think about that. So first of all, about the passion, yeah, I like programming. I won't say that I'm a huge programming fan. It's not like I was doing that from the age of 5 and I was just obsessed with everything. No, I just like the idea of like things you can learn here and the engineering stuff you can do and think about problems and how you can think about them, how you can solve them. Programming and engineering really helps with that. So this one I like, because I guess my brain is more, is not about, like, I'm not an emotional person. I guess I'm some like logical and engineering stuff. So it's easier for me to think with the formulas and with the mathematics and something like that, and not with emotions. And maybe because of that, like programming is, like, it's closer for me. And also it's easy because you have a laptop, you have internet, and then you can do whatever you need and try things, and you can communicate and build a community, even not being physically somewhere. I guess with programming it's easier than with other fields. So this is one of the parts that I really like. One is distraction, and another one is that programming is helping us bring in some money in Ukraine as well. Pay taxes, help our soldiers, warriors, help people who lost their homes, and all of that. Like, making business here, it means we are being a part of the resistance as well. So some, like you have different things you can do. You can go and fight on the front lines. You can pay taxes. You can help someone. You can volunteer. There are a lot of things you can do. And I see this as one of the things that we give, like, places to work. We pay taxes. We bring some money in Ukraine as well. So this is, like, third part is I can see drizzle. So it's destruction, is business and bringing money, and then it's passion, because programming and engineering seems to be closer to me than other fields.
Yeah. So in that sense, my next question would have been how people outside of Ukraine can offer help. It sounds like sponsoring Drizzle is a good starting point in a way, but what are good ways for us to help?
Sponsor Drizzle for sure. We're doing outsource, so anything you want, the teams, really experienced teams to build some apps for you as well, you can contact us. It's a good advertisement here as well. There are a lot of, also, if you want to help Ukraine, not just Drizzle team, but Ukraine, and you want, so Ukraine can still live, and it's, we have a lot of really good projects that accepts donations, and they reuse them for different parts. It can be parts for helping people who lost their homes, who changed the places to live, and other parts of those donations can go to like fighting parts. I don't want to say another words for that, but you can choose where you want to donate, and they're really, really great donations, where you can put your money, and it will help a lot, actually. I mean, I can share links after that if that's important. I'm not forcing anyone to do that.
Yeah, I would appreciate that. I'll put those links in the show notes, so if people are interested, I think that would be appreciated. Andri. I knew it. Thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate your time, everything you're bringing to the open source space. I love what you're doing. I love the energy you bring to the table. Thank you so much for this. I couldn't appreciate this anymore. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.